You're listening to Labor Express, Chicago's only labor news and current affairs radio program. News for working people, by working people on WLUW 88.7 FM, Chicago's independent community radio station. And I am, of course, your host, Jerry Mead. And tonight, of course, well, tomorrow is Labor Day, of course, the Labor Day holiday. So this makes this the Labor Day Eve edition of our show this year. And in honor of Labor Day Eve, I do have some extra special things for you, so a little bit of extra music tonight, and a little bit on the history of Labor Day, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But of course, as usual, we're going to start out tonight's broadcast with this week's labor news highlights from WINS, Workers Independent News Service.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner. On Sunday, starting from Manhattan's Union Square, hundreds of thousands of people participated in one of the largest protests in U.S. history. The United for Peace and Justice march filled 20 city blocks north and two avenues east before doubling back onto itself. Protesters from across the country were eager to display their anger with George Bush's anti-worker policies and the occupation of Iraq. Jesse Lenny, an organizer with SEIU 1199, endured the sweltering heat to march past Madison Square Garden, the site of the Republican National Convention. He's been an organizer for 2 years.
I was actually a community organizer before I became a union organizer, but it's been getting... the environment that workers organize in has been getting progressively worse, especially under the Bush regime.
Lenny added that Bush's Medicaid cuts have hurt his members and their clients. More than 300 people have been arrested so far. More are expected during the week-long convention.
Hey, hey! Ho, ho! Poverty has got to go! Hey, hey!
Chanting against poverty at the United Nations headquarters in New York City, thousands gathered on Monday to march for economic human rights. Michael Kendall, member of the New York Episcopal Church.
The problem we're having in this country is that there is a housing program and it's called jails. We have an employment program and it's called the military. We would have a health program and food, but we're at war.
Protesters marched past Madison Square Garden, accusing President Bush and Republicans of doing nothing to help the 850,000 people who lack housing on any given night in the U.S. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
I wanted to thank WINS for allowing us to broadcast their material weekly. I also want to let our more recent listeners know that the way this works is WINS is actually a daily broadcast, and we recompile it for a weekly broadcast. So when they say that the rally happened yesterday and they're referring to Wednesday, obviously that was because it was a program that aired on Thursday. So we recompile their daily broadcast at the end of the week here to get a little highlight of what's happened in the week in terms of labor. And I want to thank WINS for allowing us to do that and ask our listeners to check out their website at www.laborradio.org. Well, listeners to this show, I'm sure, are well familiar at this point with my love for my neighborhood of Pilsen on Chicago's South Side. And one of the foremost reasons for my deep respect for the neighborhood of Pilsen is its long history of labor struggles. A new chapter in that history is opening up now as workers at the Casa de Pueblo grocery store. It's a grocery store that serves the primarily Mexicano population in the neighborhood and has been in the neighborhood for many, many years, about 30 years now. The workers there have been exploited for pretty much its entire history, workers being paid below minimum wage, working long hours, and so on. And so finally workers have decided it's time to put an end to that, to organize, to change conditions there. And I was honored when I was asked to attend a meeting of the workers that was held earlier last week at a church basement in the neighborhood after the workers got off of their 9 o'clock shift. And the workers had some things to say to me about the working conditions they face there and their campaigns. This is what the workers had to say. Okay, I'm here with some of the workers at the grocery store in the Pilsen neighborhood called Casa de Pueblo, and they're currently trying to organize into a union there. They're receiving help from the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 881 to form a union at their grocery store, and I want to talk to them about the conditions of work at their grocery store and what their campaign is all about. So if you can tell me your name.
Angelica Acevedo.
And how long have you worked at Casa de Pueblo?
8 years.
So what are the working conditions like there that led you to want to organize?
Well, there's a lot of violations. A couple of them would be they don't pay us overtime. We had to work. Some people had to work 70 hours, no days off, no overtime. And some of them didn't have the equipment they need to work. And there's many other violations that, you know, they need to be fixed. We do not want any problems. We just want them to respect us as workers and human beings. We don't want them to tell us things like racist comments. You know, we're Mexicans and we don't have any rights. We don't have a brain. That we're ignorant, you know, and we're human beings and we're workers and we have rights, and we just want them to respect our rights, you know, as workers.
Now, it's interesting you talk about racism and how that's been used against the workers. Now, Casa de Pueblo, of course, is in a primarily Latino neighborhood, a primarily Mexicano neighborhood, and I think a lot of people think of it as a grocery store that serves that community. But what you're saying is that the bosses, the managers at Casa de Pueblo have actually used the race of their employees as a way to put them down and to keep them down. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. They know that most of the people that they're working here are people there that came from other countries, mainly Mexico, to work. So they take advantage of them because some of them don't know the language, English. So they use them, in a way, they use it against them, you know, to put them down. And, you know, that's wrong because they've been doing it for many years, probably over 30 years. And I think it's time for this to stop, you know. I've seen many people come and go, you know, probably over 50 people throughout 8 years. And I think it's about time that we get together and do something about it.
You talked about the forced overtime and the fact that they don't pay overtime. I've also heard that some of the employees at the store, like the baggers and so on, are actually receiving really below minimum wage when it comes down to what they actually receive for their work. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. The baggers get paid $3 an hour. Actually, probably like 5 years ago, they were getting paid, I'm not sure if $2 or $2.50, which is not even minimum, you know. And they were forced to work over 40 hours. And, you know, that's not right because they're not even paying them minimum.